And welcome everyone to... Wait, no. Sorry, guys here on the truck. I was just practicing my show intros for when I do radio shows.
Alan, you know, doing his morning vocal exercises along with his truck weight pulls. It's a routine.
Yeah, it's part of the routine, exactly. That's what I would be saying if I was at home recording a DKP. I would be saying, welcome everyone to WrestlingObserver.com. And, no, wait, that's not what I say. I say, welcome everyone to the DKP here at WrestlingObserver.com and F4WOnline.com. I am, of course, as always, your host, Alan. And I am joined this week by my pals in the truck, Justin Shapiro, Dave Ryan. We're on the road to WrestleMania. Gentlemen, it's been an exciting journey so far.
A lot of scenery. I know we were in the ocean last time. We were, of course, joking. We're driving in a real truck. It went across a barge. Took the car across the Atlantic Ocean, and we're here. We are driving a car. It didn't go underwater. I mean, obviously.
Dave, how's the journey as a first-timer? How's it been going for you? Not well, apparently. Dave? Did he actually take your advice before the before we turn this thing on and start actually leaving?
Justin? I don't think so.
Well,
he
we'll see if Dave
comes. This is like when somebody walks through the aisle to show all the fans he's there, and then no shows.
Walks through the aisle, like on a wrestling show?
Like in the old time territories, if a guy was holding up a promoter for money, he would walk through the aisle before the show.
Oh, classic.
Whoa!
Hello.
Whoa.
Hey, hello.
What Dave, were you thinking?
Sneaking back into the back of the truck like that.
Sorry, I was still asleep, guys. I must have slept through Alan's vocal exercises this morning.
Dave, I've told you, vocal exercises are important, and you must wake up when your alarm rings.
My apologies, guys. My apologies. But I've been enjoying the road so far.
You have a great voice.
I've been enjoying the road so far. I'm developing a nice tan on one arm from hanging out the window, trying to look cool as people go past us.
Come on now, Dave, you're Irish.
Well,
I'm getting a nice color, you know. I've given up those caffeine pills. Clumps of my hair started falling out a few days ago, so I decided to quit those. They weren't FDA approved, so that's my own mistake, really.
And now that's weird because my hair started growing in. Like, I feel like there's a lot of it. It's just going in. I'm not sure what to do about it. Like, because you can't buzz it off. It's gone in.
It swings and round a bit. You know, we're awake. At least.
Mm-hmm. A quick question, Dave, were you by chance guiltily confessing anything in the back or no? Because if the answer is no, just say no.
I talk in my sleep sometimes. Ignore it. It's just babble. Here, guys, have some sandwiches.
Oh, sandwiches.
Ooh, sandwiches.
Yeah, here.
Never mind those curious Robert Durst-esque murmurings.
Is that Brian Dean?
What are you talking about, Alan?
On the lunchbox.
I don't know what you're talking about. This lunchbox of mine, I've had this for years.
Oh, there's Lucas Radebe and Gary Kelly. It's like the whole 1996 Leeds team.
Yeah, no, I'm a big fan of Leeds. It's my lunchbox. There's nothing odd about that at all.
Is that blood?
No. Blood, Alan. Alan. It's obviously
It's red
jam.
Like blood?
It's oh. obviously.
Jam. Oh, like food. All right.
Oh,
well, we should all
guys.
Eat some, right?
Yeah, of course.
Let me put some of that blood jam on my crackers.
Brings out the flavor.
Salty jam.
I like your...
Is that a hint of hemoglobin? No, it's not.
I like your Tony Yeboah juice box.
Yeah, I bring all the nutrition. You know, you need the important thing about a long journey, a long truck journey. You got to keep hydrated, keep fed, or, you know, it's going to be a miserable time.
I heard Tony Yeboah himself was on the juice, not his juice. He was on the juice box, but he was on the juice, as in steroids and performance enhancers, when he scored all those great goals that season.
That's a lot of speculation to be throwing around, Alan.
Well, look, guy comes from out of nowhere, scores like the greatest goals of all time, like three of them in one season, and just like is amazing and is big, strong guy. Oh no.
You're a
performance enhancement.
You're a cynic, Alan. This business has ruined you.
He's rotten to the core at this point. We can't take him at his word. He's just a libelous monster. Alan's a friggin' shock jock at this point. Let's admit it.
Just saying things to get those headlines, to get those Twitter numbers. He'll say anything.
He's a damn troll.
can I make a sidebar?
Sidebar approved.
Sidebar is, considering I'm eating as we are doing this, I should have really used the whole eating sandwiches gimmick to have some of my food.
Well, I'm eating too. I'm eating food from the lunchbox.
Trying to sneak in muting myself here. I really should have just embraced the whole thing.
You don't need to, because we're canonically eating food. To all you young kids at home, hang on. Glug, 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 glug.
All you young kids at home, don't follow Alan's example. If you're driving, hands at 10 and 2, not hands one on the wheel, one on a big sandwich. Setting a poor example.
69, am I right?
Oh.
Do you remember when the Evolve did Evolve 69 and everyone said, Evolve 69, nice. That was the official subtitle of the show. I quite enjoyed that. Can't wait for Progress Chapter 69. I'm hoping for something similar. I do like the name of the new Progress show that just got announced today.
We're going to sit here and shoot dinosaurs or something?
Yeah, I like to chill out, sit here and shoot dinosaurs.
Yeah.
Quote from a 5-year-old boy.
I think the high bar for Progress shows is still, Old Man Yells at Cloud that they just had, or
that was good,
when Men Throw Men at Men.
They've really taken up the mantle of the old PWG show names from back in the day, which used to be like Guitarmageddon 2.
Steenwolf.
Steenwolf was a good one. What was the
Death to All But Metal? Black Hole Sun was my favorite. I think that's a fantastic name for it.
I remember my cousin in his DVD collection. My cousin, who was like a year or two ahead of me in every form of wrestling fandom, he got into the indies, got into ECW a little bit before me, got into the indies a little bit before me, and I remember marveling at his DVD collection and was like, "Pro Wrestling Guerrilla, huh?" And there was a show, and on the cover were Kikutaro or Ebison and Kushimbo Kamen, and the DVD was titled 88 Miles Per Hour. I was like, I don't get what that's in reference to, because I didn't know things back then. I knew things less than I do now, if that's like believable.
What a journey of growth you've been on. Now, I don't mean the physical journeys we've
still
taken.
Going. Mm-hmm. I'm hoping this will really, with this pumping iron or touching toes and stuff that we're doing every day, I'm hoping I'm going to grow a lot.
Guys, I'm like, already so toned. Look at this.
Justin, you're developing quite the dad bod.
No.
We got free tickets to the gun show here in the truck.
It's a full-on sun bod.
Must be all the protein in those sandwiches Dave gave us.
It's all part of a balanced diet, friends.
And then the caffeine is great because I can recuperate my muscles so quick and then get right back after it.
Who needs to blink?
Not I.
Blinking's for the weak, as Vince McMahon would tell us. Mm-hmm. As is sneezing. So gentlemen, as we embark and continue our journey on our road to WrestleMania here, a few things have happened since we last spoke to the good people. We had the Elimination Chamber.
We bore witness to it.
We were witness to it, yes. It was a new Elimination Chamber, and it was a spectacular new Elimination Chamber.
I like it.
Yeah.
I wanted to play on it in a way I never wanted to play on the last one.
I kind of, when I saw they tweeted out a photo of it during the day, and my automatic reaction is to fear change, and I thought, no, they can't change the chamber, but when I actually saw it on the pay-per-view then, I actually quite like it. The giant fuck-off WWE logo in the ceiling is a bit much, but apart from that, I really like the redesign.
What do you make of the lack of the punishing chain-linked fence floor to take bumps on?
I'll bet those guys getting in that chamber like it a hell of a lot better.
I would say they do.
Isn't it like
say they do.
Just not worth it? Because you would hit that thing and it wouldn't really make a sound. It would make a depressing, like, think thud.
Yeah.
Spectacular.
Thud.
But right. So, like, clearly it hurt like hell, but it didn't, like, delight and enchant the crowd. They were just like, oh, man. So,
and you just see guys like fucking holding their elbows, and you know, like they're in their most pain they've ever been in.
Was it like Kofi maybe, who came in super fired up to be a jumping around man in the Elimination Chamber and did
no,
like one?
No, I'll tell you exactly who it was. Kofi might have done that too, but I know who stands out to me when I think man coming out fired up, jumping around and doing crazy flips and regretting them immediately. Babyface Carlito.
That's
in
it.
The 2006 Elimination Chamber.
Yeah. He did one somersault plancha and he was like, never mind.
Oh, go back and watch that on your little WWE Network, everyone. It was absolutely amazing. It's the one that Cena wins and an Edge cashes in the Money in the Bank. But Carlito's entrance into that, or was it a later one? Because Carlito, that was when Carlito and Masters did the heel gang up on Cena, wasn't it?
Is the Masters of Cool.
Sure, exactly. Were. Who went on to have a WrestleMania opener, or was it the pre-show?
It was the opener. With Show and Kane, wasn't it?
I think so.
Yeah. Sure was.
Against the Masters of Cool. But, yeah, it must have been a later chamber that Carlito got back into. So, answers on a postcard, everyone. Let us know. So, that was, I remember, it was when he was wearing his pleather pants era Carlito, which was like, it was weird alone that Carlito was suddenly like jumping happy baby face. It was like all motivated again, but it was doubly weird that he was wearing the pleather pants because they had pretty much gone out of fashion in wrestling about 2 years prior.
So about 12 years prior in the outer
about that. So this year's Elimination Chamber, guys, it was an enjoyable show.
I
very much enjoyed the Luke Harper Randy Orton match, which we talked about and previewed before, or when we last recorded. And I really thought they delivered. It was exactly what I hoped the match would be, and I'm hoping for another step beyond that for Luke Harper with AJ this week on SmackDown. But I thought Orton looked great. I thought they worked really well together. A real good match, and definitely the highlight of the undercard, which was a so-so undercard. But having that one singles match and the really long, really good chamber match made for an enjoyable show.
I don't remember anything we said in our preview of it that didn't come true as far as the two important matches, and maybe hoping that Old Bex and Mickey James could have a nice match, and that's what they all did.
Like the rest of the undercard was kind of it wasn't memorable apart from a really confusing handicap match, and the end to that tag team title match where the Ascension were the last team out instead of someone like the Usos, and you see American Alpha and the Ascension in there being the final two teams and wonder how is this match going to finish.
That angle would have been better with almost anyone but the Ascension. They're like such a negative act that. Even the idea that the dead American Alpha were not, like, it should have been Breezango, and it would have been like, oh, what a travesty that these little fools could steal the belts.
Yeah, you could have got people behind the Hot Cops. It would have been good.
The Fashion Police. I'm a big fan of theirs.
They're great.
You know, Febreze is a thing. Was that explained as a backstory that, like, they can't be Febreze because Febreze is actually a copyrighted thing, so they just reversed it and made it horrible?
I hadn't thought about that before, but that's awesome, and I hope that's exactly
what it was. Let's just make
it
one of those things that is true, and if Dave is listening, yes, this is one of those things like Steve Austin wrestling British Bulldog at WrestleMania 13 that you just somehow made the story, even though I believe I made it up.
It sounds right. It sounds like in the long, proud tradition of WWE making names for things without Googling them beforehand to see what happens. Like, what was it, the name for the three girls when they came up? The Submission Sorority?
That's right.
Yeah. Just a cursory search engine look there would have helped them out a lot.
Have splintered, though, right? PCB, and then for Team Bad, they're also... It's just the Divas Revolution has completely fractured across the brand extension in front of the entire WWE universe, guys. Whoa.
The Elimination Chamber itself, gentlemen. I don't think I was as high on it as some people. Some people were very, very into the match and absolutely adored it. I liked it. I thought it was on the higher end of Elimination Chambers. I didn't think it was all that blow away, like Match of the Year Canada type level, but I thought it was a good, really enjoyable main event that it kept my attention for the whole 30-35 minutes or whatever the segment lasted, and like I can't ask for much more than that.
Yeah, I don't think there was really many moments where, like in other Elimination Chambers, someone legitimately risked their life for anything. But I think what I really liked about that match a lot was that everything, every fall and every little story that was happening inside the chamber made perfect sense, because you could see where they're probably going with it. Like all the eliminations made perfect sense to me.
Yeah, Miz, Cena had theirs, Corbin and Ambrose had theirs. I thought it was done well. I liked it coming into AJ and Bray Wyatt. It was cool seeing those two work together. I think they have a hell of a singles match in them at some point. I don't know whether or not we'll get to see that in this WrestleMania season, but I would think certainly with them both being on SmackDown and a limited pool of main eventers, that will definitely be a pay-per-view main event at some point this year.
And also, Justin, Wyatt just beating both guys clean at the end was very strange by political WWE booking.
Yeah, I was thinking between that and then the triple threat on SmackDown, not to get too far ahead of ourselves, I was thinking to myself, like, in the first week, has Bray Wyatt and his title reign been booked better than the entirety of the Kevin Owens title reign?
Yeah, he's just kind of being portrayed as in the ring, he's a tough as nails ass kicker that can. That can beat guys.
There's nothing
Kevin
they
Owens
love more.
Became that. Kevin became that in the final 2 weeks of his title reign. They're like, "Well, we can do that right now." Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, no, I was just going to say that there's nothing they love more than just periodically rehabbing Bray. They get really behind it for a while, and then maybe forget about him for a while. Then again, it's sad because he's been really good in the whole. We talked about it on the last show. The whole build with Orton and the Wyatts and that match and his title reign so far, I'm really, really enjoying Bray Wyatt. And I generally quite like him, apart from when he gets too rambly. But like I said last week, when he has the right opponent or he has the right program, a bit of direction, he's fantastic.
Yeah, it was like that with the program with the Shield back in 2014. And the Cena one was...
I thought the Cena one was good until... WrestleMania, and then it became the singing choir and all that weird stuff.
Yeah, the Cena one trailed off, but it did have that one really great match towards the end after everyone was already shitting on the feud.
That match was crazy. He threw the
that
fucking
match was
steps
really,
out.
Really good.
From the ring to the floor, and he was like, thonk. So that's...
No, Bray has definitely shown himself to, when he wants to be a great... main event wrestler. I think there's a bit more pep in his step recently. He's gotten a good bit better shape, I've noticed, and I think he's moving better in the ring as a result, and he always moved pretty well for his size, so I think he seems like he's quite motivated, maybe more motivated than he ever has been before in his career. So I'm looking forward to him and Orton at Mania. I think it's going to be, dare I say, the best Randy Orton singles match ever at WrestleMania? That wouldn't even be that much of a stretch, would it?
No, the Seth match was good, but mainly because of the finish. It was kind of just middle of the road until then. His match with Undertaker wasn't particularly memorable. It was
that might 2005 be like one. The best one, or the second best one.
That was pretty good.
I need to watch that back. Maybe I'm just thinking that with all the Bob Orton crap... Mm-hmm. In it, I wasn't enjoying that so much.
It's a different Randy too. It was when he was just, you know, figuring things out at that point. So for that to be his best WrestleMania match is says a lot about what he's done since then.
Yeah,
I remember they had a couple of really good, believable near falls in that Taker match.
Yes, there was the cast. There was like a choke slam into the RKO.
What other Randy Orton? Randy Orton and Punk was decent but short. Then he had the Triple H match, the Kane match, and Triple Threat with Ray and Angle was obviously really, really great, but short, and it was a Triple Threat. And the Triple Threat with Daniel Bryan and Batista was obviously really, really good, but again, Triple Threat. So, I think we're very much positioned. If this isn't the best Randy Orton singles match in WrestleMania history, I'll be disappointed, Dave. Hello? Are people still here with me?
I just came back.
Justin.
Hey.
Did you go to the back to try and find more sandwiches from Dave's lunchbox?
No, my router reset.
Oh, hello?
Yeah. Our portable router's here on the drive.
Can anybody hear me?
Dave. Yes.
Oh, thank God.
Guys, I think our internet didn't screw up. I think the Phenom and the man from the dark side didn't like us talking about his match, and he did spooky magics on us.
How dare I? But yeah, I heard your question. It's not a high bar to clear for it to be, like, not a particularly high bar for Orton to have his best WrestleMania match. But he certainly has a low floor. So once it's considerably better than that shit show with Triple H, I'm happy.
Is it the perfect time for Alan to do his impression of Randy deciding that he should go for it instead of being conservative with the Rollins finish, right? Remember, Alan?
Bray cutting an actual Bray promo to fire up Orton and just be like, yo, man, this is our chance, man. I want to break through the ceiling, man. And Randy being like, you know, goddammit, Bray, I never break through the ceiling at WrestleMania. Yeah, apart from that cool finish I did with Seth, and that was really cool. But yeah, I want to have a full match. It's really cool from start to finish. Tell a great story. We capture the crowd. Take them on a journey. Yeah, I'm Randy Orton. I'm Randy Orton, bitch. And then Bray just cackles and does that thing with his fingers. Is it the Dr. Evil thing where you put your hands together and tip your fingers? That thing. Yeah. So I can. Well, okay. Here's a question for you guys. Here's a question for you guys. Scenario we currently have where we have the Randy Orton Bray Wyatt match that we're looking forward to. We're looking forward to, and we think it has potential to be probably the best WrestleMania singles match for both guys. Now, do you take what you got? Or if I offered you,
I like this game,
adding
show.
Luke Harper to the mix for a triple threat match. Do you take that offer? And let me tell you this, if you don't take that offer, Luke Harper is just in the Andre the Giant Battle Royal.
I think one-on-one is better. I think Luke Harper should be in the Backlash or whatever main event with them in a triple threat.
Ooh, I like that.
New pay-per-views are.
Yeah, I like the idea in some ways of Harper being in there. But I'd be worried that if he was in there in a three-way, he would just be the guy that takes the fall.
Yeah, I could see that being a concern. And also, just in general, I don't... WWE do better three-ways than pretty much anyone. So if there is going to be a three-way in this WrestleMania card, I wouldn't be like completely disappointed in it. Let me throw this one at you. Now, we've already established my stance on the current plans for AJ Styles, but on a card like this, where a lot of guys get in the card, a lot of matches, we've got a lot of singles matches, maybe we want to diversify or mix it up a little bit. How about for the SmackDown title, we have a four-way with AJ Styles and Luke Harper in the match? Would that be more or less appealing than the triple threat scenario I laid out? Or would you rather AJ have a singles match with Shane McMahon?
So many confined choices. I'd take the four-way over the three-way just because it's great for Styles. But I think they've gone too far now to walk back the Orton-Wyatt thing just to help AJ out.
It'd feel contrived putting him in there because it's all about Orton and Wyatt, and you could... It would still make sense if Harper was in there, but AJ being put in there, where it would be a great match to watch, it would be better just by AJ's presence in there. It wouldn't really make a lot of sense.
Yeah, I think I'm with you guys.
You know what I really wanted to become a three-way, and there was talk of it like up until the last week, was Christian being added to Edge and Alberto Del Rio, as Booker T says. That sort of reminds me of this.
I think you said I was expecting a match on this card.
Nope. Why would you think that? I was just talking about that thing from 6 years ago for no reason.
I was so disappointed when Edge and Alberto Del Rio was the opener.
Yeah, and you thought, they'll never do this again and make it even worse. Oh, next year? Okay.
Oh, sad times. Yeah, anytime I see them announce the World Heavyweight title or the WWE Championship, or in this case now the WWE Championship or the Universal title, as the bell rings to open WrestleMania, and we've just had the national anthem, and we're sitting around thinking about what pizza we're going to order, and like, fuck, not ready for the fucking title match. You're supposed to ease into it. Ease into it, guys. Come on. But no, they have to go and blow their load at the start.
Just such a weird way of thinking. Like, oh, this theoretically important match will benefit so much from getting the crowd reaction and help us space out our card. It won't be weird at all.
Yeah. Well, hopefully, I don't think either of the title matches, neither of the title matches this year seem like opener type matches.
No.
If it is indeed Bray and Randy, that just... Those guys are just not... Randy Orton's not really an opener kind of guy. And what's our other one going to be? Brock and Goldberg is clearly not going to be
the That would opener. Be cool.
That would be quite the... If you were busy ordering your pizza and they all of a sudden said, the following match is for the Universal title at the start of WrestleMania, and all of a sudden Brock's music played, you'd be like, okay, pizza can wait.
That would be cool if it not only was the opener, but it was another 70-second match, and Goldberg won again. It was just like, yeah, the man.
Am I back? Can I be heard?
Whoa, yes, we Dave. Covered for you, and no one knew you were gone, but now you spoiled it.
The Undertaker got into my laptop. He really doesn't appreciate my early burial.
Another bolt of lightning.
Hey, there's nothing the Undertaker appreciates like a good burial, Dave.
That's true. He buries them alive.
What were we calling Undertaker on this show when he was kicking Brock in the balls all the time? I think it was a cranky old bitch. He's being one again.
What's your favorite Undertaker burial? Kane? Mankind? Steve Austin?
Oh, do you mean in a buried alive match?
Buried alive match, or the other special burials he did of DDP, Canyon, O'Hare, Jindrak, Adams, Clark.
The New Adventures of Superman. one of the bad things about 2000 is he was constantly given double last rides to Edge onto Christian and shit like that.
Oh, on Kurt? Remember the fully loaded? Oh,
yep. That was probably the most ass backwards.
If you've never seen the Fully Loaded pay-per-view, people, one of my favorites, Fully Loaded 2000, and I like now as I get older, I'm able to talk about things like Fully Loaded 2000 and feel like I'm telling my listeners or people about things they've never even heard of before. It's great to me. It's a very exciting prospect being able to tell people about the show where Undertaker got attacked backstage by Kurt Angle with like a pipe or something, or he just absolutely beat the shit out of him, and then Kurt like ran away scared because Undertaker was like on his back with a broken leg screaming at him. He's like, I'm gonna get you, and then he goes like, oh shit, and he runs away, and then he comes out for the match they're supposed to have, and Taker like hauls himself out there with his two broken legs and just beats the fuck out of Angle and pins him with the last ride in like 2 minutes or something. Just tremendous stuff.
Do you ever see like those lists of like, immediately check out these forgotten network gems, and then it'll be like Chris Benoit versus, well, it'll never be Benoit, but it'll be like Chris Benoit and Edge versus, nope, I mixed that up. It'll be Chris Benoit and Kurt Angle versus Edge and Rey Mysterio Jr. at No Mercy 2002. Bet you never heard about this match, and I'll be like, yes, I did.
Of course I did.
Yeah.
Why would what wrestling fan hasn't heard about that match? And then you go on Twitter and it's like 80% of the people on there weren't even alive when that match happened, probably.
That was crazy.
Oh, it's mental. Did you guys see the top 100 list they put out at the end of last week? The top 100 matches on the network?
I sure didn't.
No.
It's actually really good. And
Can you describe it in the voice I was just using a little bit? Don't have to.
I don't think I'd be able to do this.
Okay.
Sorry. But it's actually quite good. I didn't read the whole thing top to bottom, but I skimmed it and read certain inductions, and they'd have like a paragraph for each match, and it would be often by like either one of the participants, or like you'd have Sami Zayn talking about Brett versus Austin, which made the list, shock. And yeah, it's pretty diverse list, and I quite enjoyed it. It's just, there was definitely obviously things you're going to disagree with as it would any of those lists, but I thought they was a very respectful list. I thought they gave good arguments why certain matches were as high as they were, and yeah, they gave a lot of different eras, a lot of different promotions got included. So, and my main man Masato Yakushiji made the list, so
wow.
That was cool.
What for?
What for? Mm-hmm. Think about it. Just what might Masato Yakushiji, a Japanese man who you've probably never heard of,
sure,
what match might be in the top 100 matches
on
the
WWE
Network?
Oh, gosh. I mean, I truly don't know who this is. Maybe like,
Dave, you can steal the point if you want to jump in here.
Yes.
If I knew I could steal it, but...
wait a minute. I don't know.
Okay, Justin, let me give you a hint. If you were going to take over, okay? If you're going to take over something.
Okay, I'm with you.
But instead of making it all new, you wanted to make it a little blue.
What?
I now speak entirely in riddles for the rest of
you've made him more confused.
Bray?
Further from the answer.
Are you here to lead me to my salvation? Run. Yes, I will follow you. Takeover Blue? What? Now Takeover's NXT thing. Blue is SmackDown. So what I'm thinking here. Now, did this guy work he probably was like in a big program with Balls Mahoney, the new version on the new ECW. That's probably the match you're talking about, right?
No, Masato Yakushiji did not wrestle Balls Mahoney on the new ECW in a match that was so good. It's on the list of the top 100 matches on the WWE Network as of February 24th, 2017.
Are you sure?
I'm pretty sure. Darn sure.
Justin's talking a whole lot of sense right now.
It makes sense, like Tiffany would book that match.
I will say, as I said, I didn't look at the whole list, but you bring up the new ECW makes me want to check if that Hardcore Holly Rob Van Dam match is on there. It would not be the most shocking match for it to pop up on there. I have to say, I wouldn't be jumping out of my skin if that was the case. So, Dave, have you ever seen that Bob Holly Rob Van Dam match on the new ECW?
I can't say I have.
It's the one where Bob gets the nasty cut from a table.
Oh yeah, where he like his whole back gets slashed open.
Yeah.
I've seen like a clip from it where he gets his back slashed open. All right, yeah.
Yeah, I've only seen it in black and white because it was too fucked up.
It's pretty crazy match. The answer. I hope everyone's had a good guess at home, but I will reveal now. ECW, Barely Legal, 1997. The Japanese Blue World Order, We're Taken Over. They took on the, I believe it was Great Sasuke, Masato Yakushiji, and Gran Hamada, I believe was the babyface team.
Now, see, I was in the realm of that, and then, to be funny, I was like, well, I'll make it about the new ECW. But I was scared to guess it, Alan. I'm sorry, I should never be scared on this show. I'm very comfortable around you, and I respect you, and I'll never live in my fears again.
Making something about the new ECW is always a good route to making something funny,
yep.
I have to say.
This vampire, this blood-sucking dude, Joey Styles, in the land of extreme.
Now, that's pretty much everything we need to say about the Blue brand as far as the Elimination Chamber. Yeah. We've got some other things to talk about the ongoing of SmackDown recently to come. But I want to hit next a big segment on Raw a couple of weeks ago. It feels like it was maybe this year's version of the lockbox segment from last year, or what are some other big memorable Road to WrestleMania Raw angles that had a big turn or had a big development? I don't know. I'm sure we can all think of some. The Kevin Owens, Chris Jericho Festival of Friendship. The big turn, the big reveal. Justin, how close was that to how you would have ideally done this transition from these two into from friends into WrestleMania opponents? And were you thinking it would be Jericho going face and Owens going heel? Because I have to say, throughout the course of their relationship, I swung back and forth at times, and more often than not, I was thinking it would be the other way around, and it would be Kevin Owens going face.
Chris had the list the whole time. That was always waiting for the babyface thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that I was always pretty certain of. As far as whether... I mean, it was significantly better than I ever anticipated in my head, because I never would have thought to combine the such good over-the-top comedy with the serious angle. And it's fairly mind-blowing the way they executed it. Jericho around this time last year was like such a pariah as far as like people who seriously discuss wrestling. They were just like, these Chris Jericho AJ Styles matches are hurting me so much. I contracted a bad disease because of the matches were not as good as they should be. But all the same, the man is, you gotta say, a legitimate wrestling genius. I say that with no hyperbole. And that thing was just pulled off masterfully and very creative. And one of the comparisons we like to turn to here is when the WWE style of producing things actually enhances something instead of diminishing it. And the attention to detail of the camera work for the big reveal moment is also like a real feather in their cap.
Yeah, it was fantastic. Like the holding the angle on the camera angle on Jericho as he took the list out of the box, and then seeing Big Kev smiling, cut away, he realizes what the list is, cuts back, and Kev has the kind of dead-eyed, I'm going to murder you face, and then just beats the shit out of him forever. It was perfect as far as a breakup angle for those two could go.
And the exciting thing with the crowd being about like 2.5 seconds ahead of the people who figured it out slightly ahead of time, there was a genuine gasp of people being like, oh no.
I thought of a great comparison segment that I was trying to think of earlier. Batista turning on Evolution.
Oh, remember Amo? Yeah. He loved to talk about those thumbs down and how the thumbs stayed in their position and they were shocked into thumb paralysis. I don't remember what happened to that guy, but I do miss him.
Amo or Batista?
Well, both, because Batista both had a legendary tweet about the McMahons at the White House. He is truly an animal who walks alone inside a pit of danger.
And they both own full denim suits.
That's right.
Is Batista the coolest pro wrestler ever? Was Rock? Rock is like... Rock goes a bit overboard sometimes. He's a bit of a goof sometimes.
Yeah. Rock is a real panderer. He's more a brand than man at this point, but... I think he is so successful because at a certain point in exceeding 10 years ago, he was the coolest pro wrestler ever. And then it's hard to maintain that level of coolness.
I think Big Dave's coolness comes down to largely, he just doesn't give a shit about anything anymore. He just does not care. And that level of, you know, not giving a fuck is that's pretty cool.
Dave, if you were Dave Batista,
wow,
you're halfway there. Would you give a fuck about anything?
No, God, no. I've made my money.
Mm-hmm. Now,
I've got some awesome wardrobe. I've been in Marvel movies. I've been a Bond henchman. What more is there left?
If you were Dave Batista, but without the money. So if you were just looked like Dave Batista, walked like Dave Batista, talked like Dave Batista, had been the places Dave Batista had been, but didn't
seen
have his
things
riches.
Dave Batista has seen.
How integral is the money to? Because I feel like Batista could like lose all his money tomorrow, and he'd still just be like, "Yeah, fuck y'all."
Yeah, I think maybe part of it comes down to a man can't wear the kinds of sunglasses he wears and care about anything. They're very I don't care about you sunglasses.
Oh, a pair of sunglasses here in the truck that me as
let's pop very, it down again.
Anyway.
I think I read it wrong. I think the initials are actually DE, so who knows what that has anything to do. Could be Dave.
Could be.
Not sure.
Hmm.
Nothing strange about that.
They're cool. Yeah, it's fine.
I was thinking back, I thought not a whole lot of wrestling segments in the last couple years have really stirred me. I thought the as far as like start to finish and actually being productive towards something and building something that I want to see, it was one of the most effective segments on Raw since the go home for Mania 30 when Randy and Batista were having their nightmare match that they had once threatened the world with as the main event. And then Brian, who'd been beat up, comes out of the crowd and beats up all three of those guys. And they all pinball around for him. And then I think on the post-Raw show, he cut this amazing Occupy Wall Street style promo about the power of the people. So that was 3 years ago. So, I might be forgetting something glaring just because it's not sticking in my head as much as it used to. Because 3 hours, etc.
Where do we see Kevin Owens going from here? It's without having Jericho having his back and running interference and stuff, it kind of changes the dynamic. I wasn't expecting them to do the turn before the Goldberg match.
Yeah.
Because Jericho can't be at fault and cost him a match. So, like, is it just going to be Kevin going out there by himself thinking he can take on Goldberg? Or are we going to see, like, Triple H has got his own deal going on. They're obviously portraying Owens as being Triple H's guy. Maybe Samoa Joe gets involved. But Joe's got his Sami Zayn thing that night.
Yeah.
You never know, he could come back out, but I don't know.
What was that the implication of the Hunter Kevin conversation before the demise of Jericho?
I think it's ditch this guy,
we got your back.
We got like a much stronger and meaner guy who can do all that stuff for you. So I think that's where they're going with it. It'll work better with Owen staying the champion, and I'll make a desperate pitch to no ears for him that he should. Yes. And they should disqualify out of it after everything has gone down. But I'm not getting my hopes up for that. I think you're right. He can have Joe there, and then he can try and leave or something like that, and Jericho can stop him.
Oh, lunchbox. I'm sorry. I thought I was on mute. I apologize.
That's the nice thing about that lunchbox is that thermos is full of, what is that, like tomato soup, Alan?
I apologize to everyone. I am mortified. I was like, oh, I've just eaten my food now. I'm on mute.
You
I can have
really
myself
leaned into it.
I really did. I really fucking did.
Well, like, man, that's the rules of the road.
Like, these sandwiches I've clearly prepared myself. They're very delicious. It's hard not to just reach and grab. There's so many of them in this lunch pail. It's fantastic.
We're three blue-collar
tears crying.
We're three blue-collar guys. It's nice
just
to
share in the road, share in the sandwiches.
You know what? When you're with your boys. Because chicks all the time are just like, oh, what is this? Where is this going? But sometimes it's just nice to be with your boys.
Sure is, guys. Feel free to enjoy a nice burp on air later if you feel so inclined. Oh, tremendous. Oh, great audio. A burp followed by 30 seconds of everyone just giggling to themselves.
And that is just the kind of quality programming you can get for $10.99 a month.
Oh. really hope all the fuckers, there was like three of them, the, most people seem to enjoy it, but the three fuckers on the board who in the best of 2016 thread.
You're one step ahead of me on this one. I was going to say, please, there are some nice people who listen to our show. No one really replies about it anymore, but I assume they are still the same and there's very little to say now. But you don't need to nominate that for the best of, because, again, the people who compile that are also very nice and usually drop us in there a few times. So we don't need to offend dipshit Booker Man or whoever the fuck is going to be like, actually, that's not funny, and I don't understand. I don't understand why the not funny thing was there when it wasn't actually funny. Take it from me.
I did not laugh.
Take it from me, a real clearly funny guy. Who knows what's funny?
I say
I told a joke once, I know what's funny.
Ignore Justin, because I think our contribution to the best of 2016 this year should be nothing except my burp.
Well then,
and it should be number one.
Let me get the tag for this clip. I respect you, Booker Man.
Oh god, there hasn't been as big of a pandering for a spot on the best 2016 by any radio show on this site and probably ever.
Well, sometimes Dave will just be like, I sucked a dick accidentally, and then they'll be like, moment of the year. Dave said he sucked a dick.
No, today's Dave thing that was freaking amazing that I really caught me off guard was Brian goes, so Bob Sweetan passed away. And Dave, when I'm missing a beat, just goes, what a horrible, nasty individual. And I didn't really know that he was. I was just like, holy shit. But then Dave went on to like explain like that, like he raped his daughter and shit. So that he also like he bullied the McGuire twins. And yeah, he was just a bit of a not nice guy. And Danny Hodge put him in his place once. But it was really funny. At the end,
yeah, really, that man's horrible life sense, hilarious, Alan.
No, I mean at the end, Dave's just talk about just all the horribleness of this guy. Then it was like as if he felt guilt that he didn't that he had just buried him. He was like, oh, no, he was good worker. Okay, not great. it's something else in the segment.
That when they clip that for the best of, it's gonna trail off, and he's just gonna be like, "Yeah, he was a nasty bastard." Yeah, and then it'll go bum bum number 7 on to the next one. Dave always gets the button on those, and he's good at it. Believe me, I'm not begrudging him any of it. He's rightfully so. Remember when Dave did the Enzo thing? I think we talked about this already.
Yeah.
Well, guys.
Okay.
Festival of Friendship, a great segment.
We just had our almost own there,
great,
didn't we?
I was going to say, almost as great as the one we just had. But
one more great thing follow-up this week as well. Yeah, go on. Yeah.
What's that, Dave?
No, Justin first.
There's so much like hand-wringing about wrong chance and wrong reactions. And say about that segment, a hardcore fan-friendly act got the 100% intentional desired reaction. There was no, ambiguity. The sympathetic guy was sympathetic, and the heel, who is one of the popular heels who always gets the dude pop, was completely hated for what he did, and rightfully so, for ruining such a beautiful friendship.
Yeah, and that leads into, there's a great follow-up this week with him sitting on the chair with the single spotlight to start Raw, the promo he cut, which you could hear that crowd reaction. There wasn't anybody cheering for Kevin Owens at the start of Raw this week, and he kind of let everything sit, let the crowd react the way they wanted to react, cut a great promo on Goldberg, and kind of made you forget about Jericho for a little while, because he didn't address the Jericho situation. He just dropped the mic and left. So yeah, it's to kind of put Jericho to the back of your mind for a couple of weeks until he comes back and presumably attacks KO and leads to that match.
I believe he attacked him in Germany over the weekend.
Yeah, I don't know if we'll
see that as an actual thing that happened in what's the word? In
canon.
Canon, Dave. Who needs fucking ammo? All right. Anyway, so guys, the New Day are hosting WrestleMania.
New Day.
Is WrestleMania having a host something that you think we'll have to endure every year from now on? And really, if it is, they seem like the kind of ideal act to be such a host. And I'm not overly jazzed about them in ring anymore. So, yeah, I'm fine with it.
The only other thing would have been in this tag team deal with the club and Enzo, Cass, Sheamus, Cesaro, right? So
does God, the club aren't actually going to be on WrestleMania, are they?
They shouldn't be, but seems like more heat finish to set up a three-way program as these babyface teams, or whatever they are, continue to undermine each other.
And they got about a 9-hour show to kill, so they might as well put them on.
So, you know, if you were the New Day, would you rather be in that match, which strong chance of pre-show, or would you rather do a segment with probably like The Rock or Hulk Hogan or somebody? You got to take that one. So Wyatts weren't on the card last year, remember? Because they were being preserved for Rock and his flamethrower.
It makes me sad when I think about that. I saw a Rock match live, and it was The Rock and Eric Rowan.
Whoa.
Hey.
Once in a lifetime.
Once in a lifetime, I hope.
I don't know if you guys know, but Eric Rowan, back when he worked the Pro Wrestling Noah, the green mat of Pro Wrestling Noah, his name was Taroof. And if The Rock got him with that flamethrower, the roof would have been on fire. It would have been a bad situation. But was Dallas was an open air stadium, wasn't it?
The roof was closed when we were there.
Was it? Okay, yeah. So serious fire safety issue.
A real hazard.
The roof.
A real hazard.
Yeah, I'm kind of like, if they are completely overbearing with it and it's the more not funny New Day shtick, I know I've just gone really off the New Day. I don't know what they need. I don't know what they need to freshen up the act. I think the act has just worn out its welcome. I'd like to see. I think Woods has a damn good heel run in him. I really do. I think he could be a great heel. I see Kofi as the sympathetic babyface, and I want to see Big E just branch off and become a player. Because why not? The guy is charismatic, great talker, athletic as hell. What a look. I don't know why they've never given this guy the ball to run with. And now that he's kind of established himself as an over personality, go for it. I don't know, be it as a heel, a face, anything, let this guy go. I think he could play a great cocky heel. Cocky, egotistical, intelligent heel. I think he'd do that really, really well. I think there's so much room and for growth of Big E that they haven't explored at all yet. And he's still a young guy. There's still plenty of time. But the longer you leave him in this gimmick, the more he's just kind of pigeonholed. And I think it's really time after this Mania, because what else do you do with them? What else do you do? I know they sell a lot of merch, but I think you got to think more long term and think bigger picture with all three of these guys.
Yeah, and he's a guy who could really benefit from the fact that the brand split has happened now, because there are more spots to fill. They have to rotate people in and out on both brands. So eventually they will have to turn to somebody like him and promote him and just see how it works for a month or two.
Yeah. Justin, you don't seem convinced.
Well, I think the crowd favorite tag title win is being saved for Enzo and Cass, but I think it would go back heel and be good heels again, altogether. I don't know. It sort of reminds me of New Age Outlaws split up, where they were not as strong as some of their parts.
Yeah, they were at their best when, as a unit, when they were kind of just being weird every week. And I don't know whether it was that people weren't paying attention to them and trying to get them to hit the catchphrases every week, mm-hmm. when they were just coming up with new strange things every week.
Oh, they're like 14-minute backstage pass interviews.
Yes.
Stream of consciousness weirdness.
Yes, like that kind of stuff. And I think now it's gotten stale because it's repetitive. There isn't new stuff. Like the ice cream thing that they've been doing is just a different version of the cereal thing they were doing at this time last year.
I believe it is definitely getting stale. A. Cunahan once memorably said that New Day is a good Pac-Man, right?
I believe he did. I guess that was around the time I was still into the old New Day, but because
Vince, you said they were trying to maintain the purity of their act, but they would always have Vince barking at them to be horses or something like that.
That was it. That was exactly it. But guys, I gotta do a bit of gloating here now, because last time we were recording. Just boys being boys.
When you with your boys. With the
lads.
Just being a bloody bloke.
Nice. Yeah.
Let's get a dartboard in here. And some lager. Lager. I can never say that. I can never say that in the way a true lad says it, where it sounds laddish. Lager.
Just say cans. Lovely cans.
What was I going to say? Oh, yeah, I was going to gloat. Because last time we spoke to the dear listeners, I believe I suggested that it might be a possibility that one Miss Bailey would defeat one Miss Charlotte and win the WWE Raw Women's title on Raw several weeks before WrestleMania.
Yeah.
And lo and behold, after being scoffed at, I was right. Bailey won the title. Do I think that was a smart decision? No, not really. But no. It keeps us guessing as far as where they're going. I like this build right now with the women because I don't know what road they're on here. I don't know if they're on the same road as us. I don't know if they're on a completely different road. But I don't know where they're going, and I'm intrigued by it. And everyone's kind of performing pretty well. I thought as far as segments with Stephanie McMahon go, which are usually ones that made me want to claw my eyes out, I thought that one last week on Raw wasn't half bad.
This thing is supposed to make Bailey Daniel Bryan, right? So I thought part of that was their bad build-up where he would, like, win the title for a day and they'd take it back. But they didn't take it back. It seems just all spaced out wrong. Like, she should win the title at WrestleMania and then Sasha Banks should do the turn on her the night after. But it seems like it's more going to be Sasha cost her the belt at the pay-per-view to maintain the most over streak in all professional sports.
I don't know. The legit boss seemed pretty legitimate in her promo. I thought she was being real there. I'm not all in on this Sasha turning on Bailey thing. And especially after Owens turned on Jericho, I don't know if they're going to do something so similar. I think they spontaneously combusted a friendship as a friendship at WrestleMania, and it allows Charlotte to extend her pay-per-view win streak,
God.
I think she won at WrestleMania last year too. Yeah. Get ready for it, Justin, I'm telling you.
If that's the case, they should at least keep Bayley's the champion until then, but I don't know.
Yeah.
But then that means the streak gets broken and
Sasha will have to like hit her and get Bailey disqualified or something like that to build the heat. And you're right, if it is a four-way, you don't want Bailey versus three heels necessarily.
You know what they could do?
What?
Is something like real fantasy booking here, but they could do something where prior to Fastlane, so that would be either Raw tonight or on the pre-show of Fastlane, Charlotte gets into some kind of a scuffle with with Sasha, or maybe even with Nia Jax, and Charlotte gets injured and Charlotte can't wrestle, and Sasha and Bayley end up going one-on-one, and it starts friendly, competitive thing, but then it turns a bit more serious, and there's the whole thing of does Sasha only want Bayley to be champion because she thinks she can beat her and she couldn't beat Charlotte, although you can't really go that route now because she beat Charlotte last week on Raw. But anyway, they have their match, and the friendship becomes frayed over the course of the match, and while they're still baby faces, they're not on the same term, they're not on the same they're not singing off the same hymn sheet as we head into WrestleMania with a four-way with both Nia and Charlotte involved as well. And then I know what you do at WrestleMania. I don't know. It all seems... See, that's what I'm saying. I don't know what route they're going on this. It's intriguing. It's not super obvious, but at the same time, I feel they've got a good clear-cut plan. They obviously are investing a lot of thought and time into these women and this division and this title. So, I'm curious to see how it plays out.
Well, I don't know, because none of the way they spaced out the title changes with Charlotte and Sasha seemed like a clear-cut plan. I guess in the sense that they each won in their hometowns.
Well, I think the plan was to build up this pay, or maybe it was something developed, but I think they, at some point during it, they were like, hey, let's continue this thing where Charlotte keeps winning on the pay-per-view and she has this pay-per-view streak, and it's a good way to give Sasha the belt a couple times, but do it on Raw without breaking the streak. I don't know. I think they were, not from the very start, I don't think that was how they planned it, but I think as it went along, I thought that was kind of their goal. I'm probably giving them way too much credit.
Yeah, that's. I'm really hoping it isn't the case that they're just a couple of weeks ahead of us planning this.
So, what else has been going on in the world of WWE? Naomi, speaking of women on the blue side. Mm. Poor Naomi. The sad story of Naomi.
Yeah.
Justin, tell us about Naomi's woes.
Yes. Sad deal, because I think all the way back to the seminal Total Divas episode when they were so sad they got kicked off of WrestleMania. And she talked about, like, chasing WrestleMania for long, and how many years it was, I think the year after that, number 30 with the all ladies thing where her eye got smashed and she was gonna win the title that year, right? Was that, do I have the timeline right? So it is a shame. If I were booking the show, as I think I discussed last time, I would have just gone with a straightforward Becky chase, because I think Becky is the guy and Alexa has done a good job, and I don't know why you wanted to muddle that up just because Naomi's from Orlando. But as far as her herself, yeah, I do feel bad for her.
Yeah, it was tough to watch as well, the having Brian be the one she relinquished the title to. It was a little too reminiscent.
Mm-hmm.
It was, it was a little bit tough to watch that on SmackDown last week.
Do you guys think, obviously we can't really predict she's going to be back in time for Mania, but do you guys think that the big coronation of Naomi at WrestleMania was something they were always really wanting to do, to the point that they'll really try to wait for her and give her time? Or do you think, just with there being doubt, it's not like it's Seth Rollins in a key match? Do you think they'll just say, all right, let's come up with a different plan?
The fact they just did sort of a perfunctory match with another Alexa beats Becky through underhanded means, and they didn't even do interference or anything. I don't know. I don't know why Kelly and Victoria are coming to WrestleMania, if it has anything to do with that. So I'm truly not sure at this point in time. I endorse Becky regaining the belt, but I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, I think if you're doing a multi-women match over on Raw, that you'd try to go towards some sort of singles program on SmackDown, so it's a bit different. But and if that is the case, if they don't know if Naomi's going to be fit or not by WrestleMania, then they can't just spin their wheels until they know for sure. They've got to go in some sort of direction.
Mm-hmm.
Now, two gentlemen that Naomi knows very well are two men who've been spitting fire lately on the microphone. The heel Usos.
When we say Usos, y'all say nothing. Shut the fuck up. We're the Usos. That was amazing.
They seem to be intimating that they're stalking American Alpha. And that they are lurking in the shadows. They're lurking at the end of their bed. They are hiding behind their door. They are hiding in their fridge. Because they're so cool. And
they came off cool as hell.
Yeah, they seem like they're having a lot of fun with this new kind of heel persona. Just rocking up through the crowd on SmackDown last week, talking about them buckling themselves into their car.
And you know who seems like he might also enjoy having that kind of fun? The guy who got them turned heel in the first place. The big cuz, the big dog, the juggernaut. Yeah. Oh well, we'll see. But go, Usos.
Do you know who they remind me of? If you put together them boys, Mark and Jay Briscoe, put together the Briscoes with the Diaz brothers and with Junico and Camacho and stirred the shit out of that, you'd get heel Usos. It's uncanny. Watch them next time they cut a promo and like all three of the... Well, Junico and Camacho more for the look, but yeah. In terms of verbiage and how they carry themselves and speak, it's so like Briscoes and Diaz. It's crazy.
An interesting mixture.
It is an interesting mixture, and they've been fantastic. And if we're getting a 4 to 5 week straight up build to a straight up tag match at WrestleMania between American Alpha and Usos, hey, American Alpha may not have been handled so great so far, but if that's what we're getting, hell, I'm all in on that.
Isn't it
even
weird,
if it is a pre-show match?
Weird to think at one point at the very beginning of the year we thought we might get the American Alpha chasing the Wyatt all the way to WrestleMania for the belts, but clearly the Wyatts had more important things to do.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. There's not any other tag teams on that side that I can see. We spoke earlier about like Ascension and Breezango, and it's not like there's a whole host of tag teams knocking on the door to upscuttle that plan of that being our
the field is kind of clear for that. And that could be, if it does get on the main card, that could be in with a shot of being like the kind of dark horse for one of the best matches of the night. If they're given time for it, it could be really, really good.
Even if it's on the pre-show, like I reckon they'll have time. I just hope it's not so early that there's like no fans there watching it.
That they don't let people in like last year.
Oh yeah, you had that kind of issue. Yeah, hopefully it's more, it's better organized. Although I would have thought that organization would be better at the modern great Dallas, Texas stadium than it would be at this place in Orlando, which doesn't even host regular NFL games. So I don't know. If there was a massive screw up in terms of letting people in Dallas last year, I'm not overly optimistic in terms of, obviously they're dealing with less people this year, but still, I don't know. Let's see how this stadium handles things. It's not like they're hosting regular big events. So
they need to get back to that couple year run of four ways with like the Usos, the Real Americans, Kid and Cesaro, whoever else was in those two matches, where they would have like 3 3/4 star tag title matches on the pre-show.
Yeah, I remember the first Mania I went to in Miami had an Usos four-way, and I think it was it Justin Gabriel and Tyson Kidd? Were they a team at one point?
Yeah, you named them the Kitty Fiddlers.
That sounds like something I'd do. I'm so glad I have Justin here to recall my great wit of past points in my life.
And now, not to go all goofus and gallant, even though that is the exact analogy for Raw and SmackDown, but if Raw blows up its tag division, buries everybody, scorches the earth, then they'd have to like go pluck the Revival from NXT and ruin them too. But SmackDown, faced with the same situation, was like, well, what if we just tried to do something really good with our two best teams and put our minds together and just grind out a good one. And that's what they've done so far.
So we got 4 weeks or so. I wonder how many SmackDowns. It's probably 5 SmackDowns, including this week. I think you could ride that thing out. I think you do a match early. So you do a match either this week or next week, where maybe non-title, and maybe it ends with like the Usos just like fucking destroying American Alpha or something like that. Some kind of schmoz no contest finish. Then you get like maybe a backstage altercation the following week. Then you maybe do. I like the idea of doing the show. It feels very all sort of SmackDown 2000 to me to do the show where you have Jimmy Uso against Chad Gable, yeah, and you have Jey Uso against just gonna say Jake Jordan. What's his name?
Jason Jordan.
Jason
Jordan. That's it. But
Jake was to his friends.
Yeah. I could definitely see them being able to stretch this out, especially if Usos are going to continue, as I said, cutting these promos of straight fire approach Roy Johnson. But
SmackDown is also the show of the surprise TV title change, so don't rule it out.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. And there's also talking smack as a vehicle for these men to talk smack. Hell yes. So I'm excited to see this program develop.
And they were pretty great on it this week as well.
Usos were on Talking Smack this
past
week?
Was it this week or was it the week before? I'm getting my weeks.
You know, I don't think I saw this past week, so they could have been well.
Is it where they were asking Brian, like, do we look like someone who just walk up and punch someone in the face? And Brian said, yeah. And they kind of tisked at him and said, do we look like thugs? And then for a couple of seconds just start going at each other. It's great.
That is actually the Usos just losing their minds and being amazing reminded me, not quite as profound, but when the Miz just finally like destroyed beloved wrestling angel Daniel Bryan in the summer. I was like, yeah. What just happened?
So guys, unless there's anything else you think we should touch on, we could probably put the feet back up, get our arms out through the window, focus on getting some nice tans.
I think I see a truck stop coming up a few miles ahead as well.
Ooh.
We are getting
Mother
there.
Hubbard's?
Well, downshifter, again, still have not figured out what the word is. I did want to ask you what you thought of Cena and Miz build so far. They've done stuff with the ladies, and then it was kind of surprising that Cena beat Miz pretty decisively in the chamber, but then Miz got his heat back the exact same way he did for their build for the 2011 match when Miz threw him out of the Royal Rumble after Alex Riley, wrestling's greatest dipshit of the 2010s, eliminated himself too early in the Royal Rumble.
I have a question about it.
What up, what up?
Was that a steel pipe that Maurice was beating the fuck out of Nikki Bella with? Because if it was, either Maurice is like the weakest person in the world, or Nikki Bella did the most Hulk Hogan no-sell of anything in decades by like having the, oh, why are you doing that? Stop hitting me reaction to being clubbed with a steel pipe.
Cut it out. Alan, what you have to understand off about Nicole is that she's quit fearless. It. Are you fearless, Alan? Because she is.
Clearly, she's and as well, she's thinned up quite a bit. She's she had quite the muscle packed on. She was doing her heavy squats and all that stuff a few months ago. She has leaned out and toned up quite a bit. She looks more like Brie with boobs these days. Although Brie is kind of Brie with boobs these days, right?
She's Brie with wombs.
But so like, yeah, Nikki, like, taking those shots with the pipe, I would be expecting her to, I don't know, I think she need to watch tape of back in 2000 WCW when Scott Steiner was beating people with a steel pipe.
How do you know she just hasn't like refocused her training to absorb pipe shots? You think of the things that John Cena has been able to accomplish, defying medical science to come back. What if they came up with,
I was going to make a different joke about John Cena.
Go and Nikki on.
Bella's pipe shots.
No.
Oh.
But, you know, I know I'm with my boys, but some stuff is just not appropriate. Even when you're with your boys.
This locker room talk has gone too far.
That's right. It sure is. And if anybody has not watched the Bella Brains trivia segment on the Bella's YouTube channel hosted by Daniel Bryan, it's low-key amazing. Daniel asks the Bella's basic high school type knowledge questions, and then they cut back and forth, and it's very, very well edited.
Who won?
It's been a running tally. I think, I don't want to spoil anything, but there have been 3 or 4 so far.
Is John Cena involved?
Not yet, nope.
Maybe usually if they need a Brian, question asked in Mandarin.
Brian will film it with Nicole at SmackDown, and then he'll film Bree's half at their home. And then they cut it all together.
So he sees both of them, but they don't see each other.
Perhaps.
Amazing.
They're both leading separate lives.
Do you watch Total Bellas? Is Total Bellas on yet? Is that on the network yet, or is it just on E, or how does that work?
Yeah, Total Bellas was very good.
Was? Is the season done?
I think it may have been a mid-season finale or some such shit.
How many episodes were there?
About 6.
How was Johnny?
Johnny L?
Johnny Ace.
He was cool.
Did he have a skateboard at any point?
Nope.
Did anyone make a Makoto Bobbitt joke at any point?
Are you talking about their mother getting a mammogram? Because that happened.
Now, did he not have a skateboard, or were they shooting him from above the waist that he could have been on a skateboard the entire time while having very serious conversations with people?
All right, Dave, I cannot confirm that he did not have a skateboard. You're probably right.
I like the idea that he's just pushed between rooms to have conversations with his skateboard.
Yes, Laura Nice's entire framing throughout the show was like the big guys coming into the Royal Rumble this year, where they would just get progressively closer and you weren't sure how.
I wouldn't mind a Shane Douglas appearance on it. That could be good.
They
could build an episode around reuniting Johnny and his old friends.
Mm-hmm.
Could have him go meet and find Shane Douglas, then have him board a plane to Japan and go find Kenta Kobashi. It could be good stuff. And Daniel Bryan. You could have Daniel Bryan coming with him and being like really excited to meet Kenta Kobashi. He's like, oh, I can't believe we're going to meet Kenta Kobashi. And Nikki's there and she's like, Kenta what?
How do you pronounce Kyoko Inoue? They could have that Rolling Stone listicle guy thinking that Kenta Kobashi is Hideo Itami.
You could indeed. You could play off the fact that Nikki is, of course, Nikki Sawa,
mm-hmm.
as Mauro Ranallo cringily says every time on SmackDown. Am I alone in kind of thinking it would be kind of cool if Mauro was like not there anymore? find him really grating.
He's not good.
I find David Otunga to be like way more tolerable. I kind of like David Otunga. David Otunga seems like a nice guy.
Let's not get crazy.
You know when he makes his points. You know when he's like, I got a point, and then like either Moro steam rolls all over him with Ushikuroshi Hiroki Goto. Like, fucking settle down, Moro. Or JBL just starts bullying David Otunga. I tried to tune that in. I'm like, hey, Dave, poor David just
making
pretty decent
like
points.
The veritable Oscar revelation.
It's a statement of how annoying Moro has become on SmackDown.
Fuck you. Thought it was Hell in a Cell.
It's a statement.
Justin is Moro-ing Dave here with the steamroller.
It's a real statement of how kind of annoying Mauro has become that he can make Japanese wrestling references and Alan's getting annoyed by them.
It's like he's got his stock like 8 references that he just went, it's the Dodon, as they call it in Japan, Ryosuke Taguchi, JBL. Oh my god.
He's like me. I'm new to Japanese wrestling. I have a stock list of phrases to make it seem like I'm not completely out of my depth, but then after a while it's gone. It's passed me by.
All right, guys.
No, more sucks.
Hey. Yeah. Hey, yeah, look at that. Justin, what have we always wanted to do on our journeys to WrestleMania?
Look out
that a certain someone... What's that?
Look out the windows and see people. And then...
Show people our butts out the windows?
No.
I believe, I could be mistaken, but that appears to be a figure who wants a lift. A hitchhiker, if you will, and Amo, the old stuck in the mud that he has always been, has always said that we can't do that.
That's right.
But he's not here, is he, Justin?
No, it's one of those times when you're with your boys and you don't have your mean Irish other friend not letting you do cool stuff.
Now, Dave, yes. Dave, it really comes down to you here. Well, how do you feel about hitchhiking?
Yes, try and break this 0-2 tie.
Well... Guys, look, Amo isn't here anymore. I don't know what happened to him, so stop asking me already. You know, who knows? Anything could have happened. I certainly don't know. That's for sure. But I'm open to hitchhikers. I will open my heart to let a weary traveler in and join us on the way. Maybe share some of my sandwiches.
And as Mara would say, this traveler reminiscent of the blue traveler giving us the runaround.
This traveler is also... He's quite large. You might call him the big dog.
Mamma mia. Hey, guys. Oh, thanks for pulling up. Hey, guys. It's me. It's Tom Blagg from Twitter. And thanks for pulling over. I was getting pretty tired out here on the side of the road. So I really appreciate you pulling over.
Tom, I've always wanted to have the big dog, be it yourself or Roman Reigns, with us on the road to WrestleMania.
I've always wanted to be in a big rig. This just feels like an appropriate setting for me. Although I do notice that it seems like a little bit like packed, like up in the front seats, like you're all kind of crammed in.
We like to keep things cozy. We're chums.
Is it? So I see that this is one of those big rig trucks which has like a little bed behind the seats. Would it be okay if I just kind of like, if I just curled up in that little bed and just kind of, if I just lay there while you...
You're a tall man.
Tom, you're with the boys now. The rules are out the window. You do what you want.
Fantastic.
No women, no Amos. We can do what we like.
Fantastic. All right. Well, I'm gonna just cozy up. Thank you. I'm just gonna close the door and it's interesting that in this big rig truck, I don't hear any sounds of like, you know, truck noises or the engine or anything. And I was wondering, you know, why that was, but now I see that you've padded it with like noise insulating foam. So right. That explains why you wouldn't hear all those noises.
Anti-screen foam.
It's funny because when I do my podcast at home, I take absolutely no precautions for production quality whatsoever.
Yeah.
But when we're on the road here, I like to have things just perfect. Oh. And like the crackling in Justin's microphone, things like that, like we just would not tolerate them.
It's incredibly professional. It feels like very, very comfortable. Oh well, no, thank you for picking me up. I'm delighted to be here on this little segment of your road to WrestleMania. This is fantastic.
Yeah. I hope
Tom,
you
are you
not
going all
long?
Are you going all the way, or like where is your destination on your current hitchhiking voyage?
My current destination. So I'm going to Orlando this week. And this is actually just true. I'm going to Orlando like a few weeks ahead of actually everyone else because I thought about going to WrestleMania this year, and then I thought, fuck it. I just want to go to the theme parks instead and have a nice time without all the people and all the wrestling, because I've done WrestleMania once before. The one,
which one?
Well, I mean, okay, so if you're only gonna go to one WrestleMania, you want it to be the best WrestleMania, right? So I went to WrestleMania 29.
Nice.
In the historic New York, New Jersey, and it was enough to make me not really want to go to another WrestleMania again. So I'm
at this point, you get it, right? Like, they have matches, there's a ring. Rides, man. I like this idea. Go to WrestleMania.
No, we must go to WrestleMania just in this tradition.
Fine, continue.
Yeah, so if you just take me just a few miles down the road and then just drop me off at like a Taco Bell or a KFC or something, that'd be fantastic.
Ooh, you could try it, the new KFC healthy burger. I don't know if you guys have seen that.
Yeah,
it's got a cauliflower bun.
Yeah, I saw another of our friends Barry on Twitter get worked by that funny joke, and it's quite embarrassing for Barry, but That's sad.
Well, most things are.
He's a young man. He's easily confused.
Hell of a dancer, though. Hell of a dancer.
I've
seen him get bodied. Is that true? Has he been bodied before?
It happens fairly frequently. He's a nice guy. He's a nice guy. YouTube celebrity, Barry.
It's subjective. So wait, what kind of...
He's a YouTube celebrity, and it's for something other than him entering the Dancehall Queen of Ireland contest?
Yeah, nothing to do with dancing, nothing to do with his angle. He's working with Osprey over the last year, the slow build that's going on there. No.
Completely different. Do you know... All right, Alan, I'm going to get... Do you know who PewDiePie is?
I'm afraid of him.
No, I kind of guess. Maybe, you know what?
Alan, I am shocked. Lord.
So PewDiePie is a young man who plays video games on the internet and occasionally is, you know, quite racist and anti-Semitic. Whoops. And Barry is really Ireland's answer to PewDiePie. That's what I, you know, changing scenarios. But Barry's a big deal. He's got over, I think, five subscribers to his YouTube channel. So he's taken off in a big way.
Mm. Some Let's Plays. Well,
you know who's taken off?
Mm.
You know who's taken off? We were speaking about Mauro Ranallo there, saying some less than favorable things before we saw you, Tom. But his co-commentator, co-host on SmackDown, he was trying to take off in more ways than one.
Yeah.
He has last week risen from a prone position. Is that what you're getting at?
He has.
Okay.
He is.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because I remember when Seth Rollins had his incident where he was messaging with young ladies on, you know, Twitter and, you know, all that Instagram and all that. He was also talking about face fucking, as was Tom Phillips when he got caught in his little problem. So is this just like the hot thing amongst people in the wrestling biz? Or is this like, what's going on here? It seems like I don't know.
What has been going on at that performance center?
Yeah. What are they teaching these kids?
Good you Lord. Know, I see the inner workings of wrestling only when I'm at WXW. It's the only wrestling promotion I get to hang out backstage at with the boys. Sure. You know,
with your boys.
No. The boys and your boys, as in my boys, are two very different things. But the boys in WXW, if I was to ever hear any lewd, salacious, sexual thing, I'm just going to put it down to, hey, they're continental European, you know, who am I to judge?
Yeah,
they're far advanced in these things. But in the WWE locker room, yeah, it seems like this face-fucking phenomenon is...
all the way. It's crazy. Have you, in your experiences in the WXW locker room, have you ever noticed any huge directions, or is that generally not something that you've observed?
I try to generally I get very uncomfortable when I see the wrestlers, though.
Sure. When
I see the wrestlers who I am used to seeing in their underwear wrestling, when I see them in their actual underwear walking around, I find it a lot more uncomfortable, and I generally just scurry away as quickly as possible.
Have you seen
especially when it's the female wrestlers, because I mean I should be seeing that. Like it's all out in the open back. Like,
oh goodness.
I'm only joking. It's not like the 1998 ECW locker room. No. Francine's not walking around naked backstage.
All right. That's good.
Do you think that's it, though, that like so many dorks, dweebazoids, nerdlingers, geeks, gamers, pop culture nerds, and all sorts of unboxers now know all the secret terminology of wrestling, and they have to invent new kayfabe terms, and face fucking is one of the more prominent ones, and it's only now just getting out.
It would explain a lot. Carny?
If you uncarnied face fucking, what would you get? It would still be face fucking, right? Because you just reverse the consonants. So face fucking may be carny for face fucking.
Well, Tom Phillips, I don't know. There doesn't seem to be any fallout as of yet.
Is he still?
Is he still erect? Is that what you're saying?
Is his Twitter still on lockdown? Is he? Yeah, he's still got that secured, so he's not. Oh dear. His tweets are still protected, so that's a signal to me that things are still up in the air. Maybe, I don't know. I'm not an insider. I don't have this.
Circling the wagons.
I mean, the last time something like this happened, they put the world title on set. So if anything, it's a positive career move for Tom.
Yeah, exactly. He's Matt. What a loss though it'd be if we did lose Tom Phillips. Though, like, we wouldn't have anyone else to awkwardly transition to commercial breaks on SmackDown Live. So I don't know how the Fed would keep going, to be honest. But
talking as I was
saying before we picked you up, Tom, I'm all in on the David Otunga. I'm David Otunga's biggest fan.
You're not.
Otunga solo, Joey Styles style.
I would take I think Otunga solo could do a bang up job.
That's okay. I'm all for like ironic fandom, but like there's levels. You know, that's maybe too far. I decided
I didn't get enough of a vitriolic reaction for being the man in support of Shane McMahon versus AJ Styles on the last show we did. Oh, so I'm pushing all my chips in on David Otunga solo announcer of WrestleMania 33.
The quest for
all 6 hours.
The quest for a hot take in 2017 is just scraping the bottom of the barrel. This is really rough stuff. I don't know what's going to happen with old Tom, but at least it's out there now. I mean,
where do the ironic loves overlap? And I can ask you guys, people who are truly locked into the Twitterscape, because there's the all hail thing that's not all ever done, and then there's Corbin, who is certainly a funny dude and has actually gotten reasonably good this year. And then there's the Tom Phillips political monster thing. So there's got to be like a Venn diagram overlapping all three of those things. And maybe it is the big dog right there in the center of it all.
All right. So Baron Corbin, I think he's pretty good now. I think he's all right. He's definitely.
It almost makes it less fun to like him.
A little bit, yeah. But yeah. I've kind of come around in a big way. Like I was convinced, like 2 or 3 years ago, that I could be Baron Corbin because he's we're about the same height, and like my hairline is slightly better than his, although I've got more gray hairs than him. And I was pretty sure that I could do pretty much whatever he does in the ring. But now I don't think I could. I don't think I could be Baron Corbin. So that's just testament to how much he's improved, I think.
I think I
wonder
could
what wrestler I could be.
But I've actually watched like YouTube folding videos to learn how to fold your clothes better, and I couldn't replicate those, so I do not think I could do the end of days. Like, in theory, I could.
Yeah, that's...
We'll try it as we get close to the show, Alan. Can I give you the end of days? But I don't know.
Maybe at the end of the journey.
Okay.
You can try it on me.
You know my good after working we've done kicks, our, right?
After we've done our morning stretch, perhaps, when we've got nice and limber. You know, I wonder what wrestler I could be. I think I could do a decent job of Randy Orton. He doesn't do much. I couldn't look like him body-wise, really, but I think I could.
That's such a big factor, though. Like, unless you're glistening and just, you know, well-tanned. I'm not saying that you couldn't be well-tanned and glistening, but I think that's such a big part.
No, I'm Irish. I can't be well-tanned.
Yeah, I didn't want to say it, but I'm glad that you went there. I think maybe... Who could Alan be? You're fairly tall, right, Alan? You're like, you know...
I'm 6 foot on the nose. I think that's reasonable height.
Yeah.
It's not OVW 2004 height, but it gets you in the door now.
Yeah. we can bill you as 6'2". We can get you in there. I think...
I could wear lifts.
You got lifts? That's good. It'll hurt your aerial offense, though.
I think you could be... You know those TM61 lads? The Australian...
Ooh!
Like they
especially since they got off the gas.
Exactly, yeah. They seem perfectly nice, and you're nice, and they seem not many other personality traits, but that's, I think you, as long as you just were nice and you popped your shirt off, you'd be okay. I think you could fit right in.
They catch people when they try and jump on them. Very disturbing to the jumpers.
Yeah, yeah. Are you good at catching people?
Does this? I think I could do a decent job. I don't think I'd flinch out of the way like Miz. But would I be allowed to use my Australian accent, or would that be discouraged?
Do you feel comfortable sharing your Australian accent?
Oh, certainly. I feel comfortable sharing.
It's whether everyone else feels comfortable.
Yeah. I feel a bit stressed out now by how willing you were to get into it. Would you like
go
to
go on, Alan? Well, let me tell you something, guys. I'm here in the land down under, and we're near New Zealand, and that's been popping off a lot of great wrestlers recently. You got the Dahlia Black, and you got the TK Cooper over in the This Is Progress. You got Jay White doing great things in the New Japan, and we here in Australia, we've not really been popping out as many great guys. We have the TM61, but where, you know, Shane Thorne, he's got injured.
I'm getting kind of southern.
Kind of bounce around over here.
Just wait. Oh. I'll be Jamaican soon enough, guys. Okay.
All right, well, maybe we should nip that in the bud before we go full Jamaican. You know, I don't know. I feel like that might be a bad move, you know.
Hey, R.I.P. Mike Adamley, by the way. That poor man.
Well, I've been very patient waiting for my Jamaican accent.
We've been so
You've all been
good.
So good.
You could be Emma. You could be quite
Do
sexy.
It, Alan, be Emma. Be
I'm part of
Emma.
The transition. I'm part of the transition from Emmalina to Emma. It's going to be a real wild card surprise on
You're
Raw
the midpoint.
Overlooked part of the metamorphosis.
Oh, God.
The cocoon stage is when you just are Alan. Alan, why don't you come in like when original Kane came to feud with present Kane? You could be like the Emma dancing gimmick and feud with Emmalina.
That'd be good.
Be most disgusting promotional tactic in the Observer is
I could
fake
be,
Emma.
I could be way back at Lance Storm, trainee, World of Hurt star Tennille.
There you go. See?
But yeah. Well, you know, Tom Phillips, just to bring it all the way back around to him, if he is to get ejected from his position at the side of the desk, awkwardly, kind of not even really behind the desk, kind of just sitting in the Bolt Boys corner, if he was to get
I need to wait a while before you ask him to stand up from the desk, though.
Maybe that's why it's taking so long. But if he is to get fired, he may very well show up at WrestleCon with his own booth. Perhaps all the booths of sponsors, so perhaps he'll be like an RF Feinstein, RF Video sponsored attraction at WrestleCon.
Just a match.
Who knows?
Yeah.
Who knows? So he will have his booth. What he'll be offering in his booth, other than 8x10s and photos and autographs. The 8x10
yeah,
was
8x10?
The size of the picture that has his face on it, and you are not to insert anything into his face that is on the picture.
I don't think that's the way around he wanted it, but okay.
Well, anyway, if he was to appear at WrestleCon, he would be joining a lot of luminaries. And Tom, obviously you're new to the truck here, but what we did last time we talked to the dear people here from the truck, and what we did many times last year with AMO is we have a look at the selection of guests that will be appearing this year at the Hyatt Regency Orlando, the official site of WrestleCon. Seems like a lovely area with palm trees and all kinds of great things. And there's quite the selection of individuals who are going to be here
wrestling
this year.
You might say
wrestling superstars. I can't actually remember who we mentioned last week, but I'll just pick a few more random names, and you guys can tell me about maybe who you'd be going up to amongst this bunch and what you'd be talking about with them. We have Teddy Long going into the Hall of Fame,
making
a stop at the WrestleCon before he does. Friend of the show, favorite of the show, Miss Deborah McMichael will be at WrestleCon.
Fantastic.
Of course, I would definitely be...
Alan, Deborah will be there, but what about the puppies?
Yeah. So Teddy Long's going to be there before he gets his Hall of Fame ring?
Yeah, he will.
So he won't be doing photo ops with the ring or anything like that?
No, it's disappointing.
That seems like a shame.
Unless he gets a... Oh, that's always next year for that, you know? This year he's got the novelty of, hey, I'm going into the Hall of Fame this weekend.
Look, you've got to get your picture with Theodore Arlong before he has the ring on. That's how you complete your collection. Then you have the post-ring ones next year.
That's true. Yeah.
Exactly. We've also got Mr. A.E. Ooh, his code name. Any guesses, Justin? Mr. A.E., you were previously unsuccessful with your guest game on this show.
Mr. A.E. So his name cannot be said because it's probably owned by someone who wouldn't let him promote himself with that name?
I'm guessing, but everyone else seems to be going by whatever name they're commonly known as here. But he's really embracing his new moniker.
Mr. A.E. I just keep going back to the team of Arn Anderson, Bobby Eaton. Is it them together as one person?
That's they have combined their efforts.
Is that like a pun? Like, is it meant to? Are you meant to say it like mystery? Like Mr. Ray? Is that the joke, perhaps. Or is that like?
Yeah, it could well be. I just discovered the other day that there was a wrestler in IWA Mid South back in the early 2000s called Kufa, the Flying Hawaiian. And the fans, the gimmick was the fans would chant Kufa over and over.
Fuck and
I don't know if you guys want to try that, but if you were to do it, it basically comes out to a chant of fuck you, fuck you, fuck you, fuck you, fuck you.
Kufa, Kufa. Is it Kufa?
Kufa. Kufa?
Kufa. Wait, Kufa.
It's hard Kufa. To do. You have to really Kufa. Try and throw yourself.
Kufa. Yeah.
Kufa. Try it at home, everyone.
Yeah.
But Mr. A.E.
Is it
the
Alberto El Patron?
Close. Oh. Armando Alejandro. And I would like to think of him and Teddy Long being positioned beside each other because I could see them being good mates.
Is he actually billing? So he's billed on the thing as Mr. AE? Or is that?
Yeah.
That's insane. That's crazy. Why would he?
Why not
that's,
like Senior AE?
Or like just Alejandro? Or like, what? They can't.
He has three names, like, right? Just combined yeah. in a different order.
Oh, yeah. That'd work.
What was his previous name? He was like Osama Rodrigo mm-hmm. Alejandro, I think was his original mm-hmm. name. But it's a shame.
What was his catchphrase? I only remember the ha-ha part.
I don't really remember, to be honest.
Isn't that sad? He had more staying power than Abraham Washington.
Didn't he just say his name? Wasn't that it?
Oh, yeah, is you're that... right.
Maybe that's just it. Maybe that's enough these days. Who knows?
But do you already know that? Is that somebody else? Oh, that's Alberto. Huh.
That, right. I don't know.
Now, another man who will be there is someone who, you know, his brother will be getting a little bit more of the spotlight over the course of the weekend.
Mm.
His brother, who is not on the phone with us, but is... Not the phone. I mean, sitting right here in the front with us.
What?
What? Who?
Are you guys on the phone? What?
Dave is taking a phone call to the big dog Roman Reigns and his brother Matt Anoa'i, who also not going by his more commonly known name, but Matt Anoa'i is of course Rosie.
Oh.
And he will be there.
Training.
So let's see, we got four so far. So we got Rosie, Deborah, Armando, and Teddy Long all hanging out with each other. And let's throw one more into the mix in this section. We got Tully Blanchard. Interesting. That's quite the quintet that will be positioned together in my make-believe setup for WrestleCon.
You think they'll be sharing a corner together? Like they'll be like right next to each other, just having to have awkward conversations and catch people's eyes?
If it's like last year, Tully was at WrestleCon last year when we were there, and after a while he just kind of got bored and stood up and started walking around and starting up conversations with people at their tables.
That's fantastic.
I think he was mainly there with Tessa because I think she had a signing, and was a signing that was full of like a queue of I don't want to judge and say they were all creepy, but there was definitely a creep factor going on in some elements of that queue. So he kind of walked off at a certain point and was talking to a few people, just trying to enjoy his afternoon.
He was tired of seeing his daughter just be, you know, approached by young men in shimmer t-shirts, and he
weren't
decided
all
to just...
young, which was.
It's even more distressing.
Look, the less said about it, the better.
Yeah. Oh man.
So when dealing with Deborah, Armando, Teddy and I forget who the other person I said was. But anyway, in dealing Rosie. With those three, Rosie, dealing with those four people, who is the most likely to offend Tully and make him just want to, like, walk up, get out, and go over, talk to Virgil?
I don't know that he'd get up and talk to Virgil. I was how do we know how racist Tully Blanchard is? Is that a thing? Is that a known thing?
It's always
I would imagine he's the appropriate amount of racist for a white snooty 80s wrestler in Southern Territories.
Is he more? Would you say he's more racist or sexist? Because I feel like Deborah being there, and she never took a bump.
What does she know about this business?
Exactly. And he might be a close friend of Mongo. We don't know. You know, he might hold a grudge.
What Tom's definitely advocating here is some sort of like Metacritic site where they score old wrestlers based on their racism or sexism, so that we know before we go to WrestleCon, we've studied up and just know, you know, if we stay around too long, we're going to hear some very controversial statements.
Yes.
Sure. Like Dick Murdoch being in the Klan in the 60s is almost in context not as offensive as TJ Perkins being a men's rights activist in 2017.
It's close.
It's all time and place, you know. Mm-hmm. And what can be just kind of thought of as, you know, harmless banter with the boys.
Fun. Yeah, the fun kind of racism,
like we have here in the truck.
Yeah, just
you know,
just some fun racists, just all hanging out in a big rig.
Just a bunch of boys in the truck being racists.
Yeah. Have you?
I think that's. Go on, sir.
I was going to say, Alan, have you invited any ladies to be, you know, have you encountered any lady hitchhikers?
Better not.
Not yet this year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's probably the
best. I don't think it would be appreciated, you know?
Yeah.
Have we encountered any ladies on the, did Jimmy Hart bring some ladies with him once on one of our road trips, Justin?
Yes, and having been there, I remember who it. The gorgeous George III showed up briefly once. Stephanie Bellers.
Did she? Excellent.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So is it mostly? Are you mostly just like?
I'm trying to find if gorgeous George III is on WrestleCon.
What up, Maj?
Has it mostly been? Have you mostly been picking up white male hitchhikers on your
trip? So far, it's 100%.
100%. Wow,
we are one for one.
Transatlantic accent is mandatory.
Oh wow! Okay.
I mean, like Tom, they're dancing around saying you're the first person gullible enough to get into the truck with us. But I'm just going to say it because I respect you. Damn it!
I appreciate that. I thought I was just one of many. Oh, okay. I thought you'd already maybe had a few hitchhikers. I was going to say it.
Who knows? Who knows what lies ahead on the open road, Tom?
So my stink will be like in the cab for all future hitchhikers. So I'm kind of like marking my territory a little bit.
You are right? Setting a precedent. Now we might do some continuity inserts, right? Wouldn't you like to go back in a future year and record some missing episodes? So there may be intermediary hitchhikers between episode 1 and episode 2. We'll see.
That's exciting.
But feel free to mark your territory on the bed there, Tom, before we drop you off, because it looks to me like Taco Bell is just up ahead.
Fantastic.
Now, while I appreciate you having the ability to mark your territory and encourage it, I would rather you do it pre-Taco Bell. So we'll let you get that out of your system, and we'll drop you off here.
Shouldn't that be one of the, like, 1,250 podcast that comes out every Tuesday is like old school examination, going over old results and microfilms. It's marking the territories with your host, me, and another guy.
That'd be, I mean, if that doesn't exist, then that's gonna exist. I'm gonna take it upon
Please
myself.
Do
to
it. Do Please do marking the territories.
Yeah, but
we're territorying the marks. We're the ones with the territory.
Terrorizing the marks, more like, yeah.
We Take love those 5-star reviews.
Yeah. Like, comment, and subscribe. But hey, speaking of like, commenting, and subscribing, guys, I've got my own podcast which I appear on.
Look at that! Nice.
So we don't really. So it's meant. It's called Wrestling on Air on the WrestlingOnEarth.com website. We don't really have many reviewers, but you know, on the next episode, we review jam. We've reviewed 6 delicious kinds of jam. So
we had some earlier today.
I'm just saying, you know, it doesn't always have to be about wrestling, guys. Sometimes you can just take your pants off and just talk about jam.
Tom, tell me this, tomorrow being Pancake Tuesday, would you be a man to indulge in a jam-filled pancake?
Jam-filled, no. A light scraping of jam, yes.
Oh, yeah, a light scraping, yeah. Mm. But would you go solely jam, or would you need to have some banana or something like that in there as well?
I go one flavor per pancake. I don't mix Well, no, except for like Nutella and banana and that. But for the most part, yeah, I don't go crazy. Just a little scraping of like raspberry jam. That might be all right, yeah.
I'd be more a strawberry guy now myself, but I'll allow the raspberry.
Okay, well, I'd like you to let me off now then, if that's okay. I don't want to get jams, but I don't approve of that, all right? There's more jam than just strawberry.
Dave, it's very
Tom, the Twitter is at Tom Blarg, I believe. BLARGH.
That's close enough, yeah. That's about it. Yeah, check
within
me out.
Reason.
Can you? Do you? Does Dave listen to this podcast? Oh, big Daddy Meltzer. Does he listen?
Big. I should hope he's not listening to this.
He has been known to have listened to one Hall of Fame show once ever.
We got really embarrassed when we found out.
He said, "Heard the show with Alan and Todd. Pretty good."
I was all right. Forget it then. I was gonna hopefully use this as a way to.
But, yeah.
Well, yeah, just like self-promote myself.
To one of his, if he puts out a UFC poll, why don't you tell him what you think about it? Right here, we'll get it to him.
I'll tell you this much: if Dave listens to this show,
there's a moment
on this show from before you joined us here in the truck that I will go into hiding after finding out Dave listened to
it.
But,
here's hoping. Here's hoping.
Here's hoping indeed. Justin.
Thumbs way up,
Dave,
on the UFC.
Arena Mexico Friday night was good stuff. It's always a fun show.
I mean, Tom Phillips, embrace it, and just, you probably belong more at this showcase of the scumbags than you do at the WrestleMania.
I want Tom Phillips to embrace anything more.
Oh, that's a good point. Yep. Hands off.
Ooh. If we were to see Tom Phillips on the side of the road, could we?
No.
All right.
He's sticking
everyone,
out a thumb.
Thank you for listening.
That's not a thumb.
No. Thumb fuck me. Like, no? Okay. End the show.
Thank you, everyone, for listening. We'll be back on our road to WrestleMania very soon.
Oh.
And who knows what shenanigans we'll get up to, and who knows who we'll run into. But until then, everyone, bye from the truck. Beep, beep. Honk, honk.
Vroom.
All right.
Beep.
Bye, everyone. Goodbye.